To continue. Part two. I expressed my original purity and integrity. I am transfigured. I expressed my original purity and integrity. I am transfigured. This is a topic that perhaps has a never-ending story to it, because it has so many ramifications to it and so many benefits to it. But consider, let's go again. I expressed my original purity, and we were wondering what original purity was all about. And let's continue wondering what original purity is all about. Before we started this talk today, we were talking about the sexual habits of the 21st century male and female. And the only response that I can have for that is the sexual response of the 21st century male and female is spelled like this, A-N-I-M-A-L. It's rutting season. It is the time to go out and play with sex and have sex and do sex for whatever pleases you. Now, if you had a daughter of sexual age, would you encourage her to go out and have sex with anybody that she chose to have sex with? Or would you be teaching her values and saying, you have the ability to keep your body in check, to maintain your values, and when you get married, have sex. If you're going to go with somebody and you think they love you just because they have sex with you, you are very sadly mistaken. People have sex together just as you would go and have a cocktail together, just as you would buy bus tickets standing together. It has no more emotional togetherness or impact than that. And whenever we teach our children that sex is an integral part of marriage, we are cheating our children. Sex has nothing to do with marriage. Sex may be like eating. Does eating have something to do with marriage? You stay alive by eating, so to speak. Does drinking have something to do with marriage? In marriage, you eat and drink and do all these things. But in marriage, you have sex. But if sex were sacred and were for marriage, then that's another story. But today, that's not being taught. Today, sex is being taught as just having a Coca-Cola with somebody else, you know. It's no big deal. And after you're done with the Coke, you just, as the saying goes, roll over in bed and go to sleep, you know. Or you just do whatever you want to do. Now, I express my original purity and integrity. What is my original purity? My original purity is to have the utmost respect for myself, the utmost respect for my body, the temple of the living God. Now, sex does not hurt the body. It does not help the body. It does not hurt the food. Does not hurt the body. It does not help it. It does not hurt it, and so forth. So, what is it that we're talking about? Why are we making sex into something that is sacred, something that is to be done only in marriage, something that is to be done not necessarily between single people, you know. It's done between two people who are married to each other. Now, when has that ever been taught? Well, the puritanical Americans who came here from the various countries of the world, they took this as a Puritan attitude toward life. And they were awfully tough on a lot of areas. And being tough on a lot of areas, they were not really accomplishing too much. They scared people away. And this attitude about sex, for instance, could scare people away. But when you say to yourself, okay, now, I'm a married woman, and my husband dies, and I'm 75 years older, I'm 80 years older, I'm 60 years older, 50 or whatever I am, and I don't really want to get married again because I could never find anyone as wonderful as my husband was, I think. And so, but I do like sex because I have learned to like it in our marriage, and I've learned to sort of feel that it's a very happy and a wonderful thing to do. What should I do? How would I fit in with the mores and the morals of this culture, of today's age? Well, you'd have no problem at all. In today's age, it's the swing, go, be yourself, do whatever you want, and enjoy yourself, and have fun. But in the culture of Jesus' time, that was not accepted. In the culture of Puritanical Europe, that was not accepted. Whenever it was done, it was, oh my God, you know, that's terrible. And perhaps a lot of people did it, you know. Let's not ignore that fact. But it was not accepted. It was not accepted. And when people did it, they did it at their risk. At the risk of being found out, and at the risk of being ostracized from the community, and ostracized from their family, and ostracized right out of the world, so to speak. You'd be surprised how many people have committed suicide by being ostracized from their family. Now, this is a very important thing for you to consider. I say to you, be yourself and have fun. Whatever turns you on, go for it and enjoy. Now, if I spoke to a group of girls who were going to get married, and I was on a panel in Detroit, Duluth, Minnesota, and on the panel was a priest, a medical doctor, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and educator, I believe, and me. And I was the minister, and I represented the philosophy of the Protestant church, and the priest, of course, represented the Protestant, the Catholic attitudes. And so many questions were asked, and many were answered. And one question was asked by one of the girls, if we have a premarital relationship before we get married, should we tell our husband about it when we get married? And everybody said, oh, we wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. You know, the Catholic Church doesn't want to be represented on anything, and the psychiatrist doesn't want, because they didn't want to short-circuit these girls who are now in the 21st century, and they're living in the idea that they're free to play the games they want to play. So I spoke up, and I said to them, you may do anything you like to do. There are no laws that forbid you from being promiscuous, no laws that forbid you from violating the rules under which you have presumably grown up. And the rule is that when you get married, then you have sex. And sex is a married activity. It's to be done between a man and a woman in marriage. It's not to be done between two men. It's not to be done between two women. It's to be done between a man and a woman in marriage. That's what it's all about. If the Bible, if we didn't follow that Bible, now in Polynesia, the priest and friends check a girl out to see if she can be pregnant. And if she can be pregnant, then the man takes her as a wife. But he doesn't want to take as a wife someone who cannot produce children, somehow. And that's not our custom here, nor is it the Central Europe custom either. And what our custom is, what I said to these girls, I said, you would not tell your husband how many times you wipe your bottom. You would not tell your husband about all of the dates that you had and all of the friends that you met and knew. Now, if you tell your husband that you have had premarital relationships, then you are asking him to bear the burden of that cross that you are carrying for having done something you are not proud of, that you do not believe in, that your church teaches you is wrong, your school teaches you is wrong, your world teaches you is wrong, and you know in your heart it's wrong. People who violate the rules that they know in their heart are wrong are going to have a very interesting life. They're going to have many illnesses, and they won't know where the illnesses came from. But it's because they have been untrue to themselves, because they have violated the rules on which their life is based. They violate the traditions that their parents have brought them up in. And in violating these things, their body gets all tense and uptight and worried about it and cannot handle itself. Now, you say, well, I can. I've been having sex since I was 17, you know, and I took every man on that I could find, or every woman on that I could find, and look at me now. I have no problems at all. I am a spiritual master. I am super duper duper duper. Hey, don't flaunt going against principle. Don't flaunt going against the law. Don't flaunt going against tradition. Don't flaunt going against your Christian ethic. Don't flaunt going against whatever the church has told you, whatever the community has told you, whatever the nation has told you, whatever your heart really tells you. And you see, people who are homosexual, they're not bad people. But what their problem is that they want to be accepted, and they haven't accepted themselves. So they are asking everybody else to accept them. They want to be married in the standard style, like normal heterosexual marriages are, and they can do that, but that doesn't make them any more accepted. They have to be accepted in their heart. If they believe what they're doing is right, they don't have to tell anybody. They don't have to. Do you know if Heinz is married? He told you he's married. Otherwise, you wouldn't know. Do I know if you're married? You told me you weren't. Otherwise, I wouldn't know. Do I know if you are married? I wouldn't have known if you hadn't told me your history. Now, the same with all the rest of you. Ingeborg, she was married, and her husband still lives. He's an ancient fossil over in Italy. How old is he now? 86, 87, Ingeborg? Huh? Yes. Yes, what? 86, 87? Something like that. But you see, now, Ingeborg, may I tell you a story? Ingeborg married this sexy guy, and they had a nice relationship for a while. And then he wanted to start bringing his girlfriends in. And Ingeborg says, I'm sorry, that's not my cup of tea. And so then she allowed for a year or so, but then she just had to leave. She says, that's just not her cup of tea. And so she left. She had her morals. She had her standards by which she was living her life. And she didn't want to judge him, and she didn't want to feel unkindly about him, because he was a nice guy and is a nice guy, but he is 100% selfish. And because he's 100% selfish, he lives a very lonely life. No women want to stay with him very long, because he is a selfish man and he is not true. And that's why Ingeborg passed him by, right? And Ingeborg doesn't hate him. Ingeborg went to visit him after her visit to Africa a couple of years ago. And it's wonderful. But the thing is, what are your traditions? On what have you been raised? Have you been raised by a mother who said, hey boy, you're 12 years old, now find yourself a girl and have sex? Did your mother say that? I don't believe so. I don't believe that she said, well, young lady, you're 12, and when you're 12, you're really 15, you know, and go out and prove yourself, you know. Let's see a couple of babies around this house. I like a couple of grandchildren. I don't care whether you got a husband or not. I just want some kids. And a lot of women do that. A lot of mothers encourage their children to be without morals, you know. And but I'm saying to you, as I said to these girls, I said, if you can handle it and not tell your husband anything about your previous experiences, then that's fine. But if you have to tell him about your previous experiences because you feel so guilty and you want him to carry the guilt with you, you're not being very nice to this man that you choose to live with and have as your husband. It's none of his business what has gone before. You really shouldn't have done it. You should have been pure, and you should have been without any experiences. You know, you shouldn't be used, you know. But And the man shouldn't be used. That doesn't mean give the man the right to say, well, the woman shouldn't, but I can, because it's for both, absolutely for both. Now, you say, my God, Herb, is this, I express my original purity and integrity, and I'm transfigured? Yes. Because all of you would like to have that. And some of you, let's forget about the sex. Some of you have negative ideas about yourself and about your world. Some of you think that you're not as good as somebody else. Some of you think that you've been given a bum steer, you've been given a bad rush about things, and you're unhappy about that, and you feel sorry for yourself. That's a killer. Don't ever let yourself feel sorry about anything. Nothing at all, because if you do, you destroy yourself. And on we could go about these various issues. But the big point is this: unto thine own self be true, and thou canst be false to no man. And she tells us about her sexual exploits because she's proud of them. and she wants to flaunt them in front of us and tell us all about them and tell us how many times a night she can perform and how many this here. No, 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 no. I'm making it sound much worse than it is, and nobody on this tape knows who you are. So just remember, if it disturbs you that your story is out in public, as you have given it occasionally, then you are not happy with yourself. You do not believe that all the things you did were just of the highest nature. Yeah. So what you need to do, if you want to be come to terms with yourself, is to always be honorable, always have integrity, always do those things that you believe are right. And if you don't believe they're right, then you want approval from other people. Then you want to say, well, now, I do this and I do that. Hey, just asking for approval. If you like yourself, you don't need approval from anybody. If you like yourself, you don't have to ask anybody whether you're a good person or whether you're not a good person. Stand up for who you are. Stand up for who you... You may get in trouble. I got in trouble. But stand up for who you are. And if you get in trouble and you still stand up for who you are, it won't be easy. Because it's not supposed to be easy. If you know the story of Job and the troubles he went through, beautiful biblical story, considered one of the classic pieces of literature of the world. And if you know the story of Abraham, remember Abraham? What went wrong in Abraham's world? He was the chief honcho. He was the big wheel. And what did he have to do?
Sacrifice his son.
He had his favorite son. And God says, put your son on the altar and sacrifice him to me, if you really believe in me. And Abraham said, yes, Lord. And he put him on the altar, he tied him up, and he was ready to plunge the knife into him and then burn him. But just that moment, God says, over in the bush is a ram that's caught. Take that ram, release your son, take that ram and make him as your offering. At the last minute he was, but you can't expect that. If you're standing up for truth and standing up for what you believe, you can't expect that you're going to have a ram at the last minute, you know, who's going to replace another sacrificial image you have to get rid of. But believe in yourself. Love yourself so fantastically. I expressed my original purity and integrity. Now, if we're expressing our original purity and integrity, and we are living as a lone master, in other words, we're not in the world, we're in ourselves as a master, we won't have any negative experiences. It's only when you try to live in the world and live your master status that you have trouble. And the reason you have trouble is you have two gods. You have two, two masters, and you don't know which one to follow. And so you want to follow your spiritual master because that's cool. And you want to follow your physical master because that's fun, you think. But you know, it's fun. Will I be found out if I have sex with this man or this woman? Will I be found out if I go out and put my wife to bed, you know, and say, good night, sweetheart. I would sit up and read for a couple hours, you know. And then I slip out the front door and I visit one neighbor after the other going down the street because I got it all set up ahead of time. You know, their husbands are out working, running the night shift or something. And I've got it all set up. What happened to you? Well, are you doing it openly, honestly, and above board? No. You're cheating, you're stealing, you're being dishonest. You don't deserve to breathe another breath according to yourself because you are so, so bad. Now, you could say, good night, sweetheart. I'm going to sit up and read for a while. And then you put on your mask and you go rob the neighbor's houses, you know, or you go rob a bank or something. And you come home and you sit there and you read a little bit and your wife doesn't know any of this stuff. And then you go to bed, you fall asleep, and you think, pretty cool, pretty cool. Your wife says, dear, I don't see you working very much, but we certainly are rich, aren't we? We have a lot of money. Yes, 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 yes. I inherited from my dad. Lies, lies, lies. A life built on lies can only be a greater lie. Why is the mafia so frightening? It's not frightening to the world because we don't live by those principles. But it's frightening to them the Godfather gives you a kiss of death, you know. It's frightening to them because they are always under the thumb of, let's call him the Godfather. They're always under the thumb of whoever is the leader of the clan or leader of the activity. And they have hitmen. And you don't know if you're on his list or not. And you could be bumped off in a moment. You family of a dozen children and a nice house, and you're doing all great things. Because you didn't attend the meeting and speak up in time, you're on the list. Poof, out you go. They want instant control, instant direction. Anyone who is in the mafia or any organization of that nature must live in perpetual fear constantly, in just fear of their life, fear of their existence. Now, is that a happy way to live? We would say no. And when they try to get out, are they trying to get out before they get killed? Or are they trying to get out because they no longer believe in that philosophy? Most of them try to get out before they get killed. And that's what it's all about. People want to come to America when their own country dumps them. People want to come to Switzerland or Germany or wherever when their own country dumps them because they cannot make a living. They are the scum of the earth, and I don't mean that in a negative sense. They are just have no appreciation of themselves. They don't value themselves. And so the Italians, they come over to Switzerland, and they take the menial jobs. And they are happy with that because there's no responsibility. The Mexicans come to the United States here and take menial jobs. Now, you know, you're Mexican, and you're educated, and you're a quality person. And you want that the two don't always go together, but you're a quality person and you want to come to the United States. So you apply for a visa, not a visa, you apply for immigration status. And you wait your turn. And then your immigration status comes and you go to the United States if that's where you want to be, or some other country, and you immigrate. So why is it people don't like to follow the rule? They climb over the fences and they come through here and they are wetbacks and they take the menial jobs, which is more money than they ever earned at home, and they send the money back home. Are they happy with themselves? They violate the law. Now, perhaps the law is wrong, but it's the law. Perhaps the law is wrong. They're trying to inculcate, put to work the death penalty in California because of one of the current cases before them. And it's like having the death penalty or having these things to meet the needs. If you are a loving country, if you are a Christian country, or if you are just whatever, you cannot have the death penalty. For you cannot take the life of another being, even though they did. You cannot. You can incarcerate them. You can put them in the hole. You can do all sorts of terrible things to them. But you cannot kill them. You cannot, even the devil couldn't kill Job. God says, do anything you like, but don't kill him. We'll see if Job really believes in God. If you do all those nasty things you're able to do to him. So, I express my original purity. When are you guys going to be ready to express your original purity? When are you going to express your integrity? And sex is only one teeny-weeny little avenue of it. But it is a definite avenue. It's just like if you say you're going to go on a diet and then you cheat because you take a little snip here and a little snip there and yum, 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 yum. And I've come in your office many times when you're on a fast and I see you chewing. And I see you chewing and I think to myself, who is she fooling that she's on a fast? You do like to get attention, don't you? Now, let's have a real good cough to get real good attention. Come on now. Come on. A real good cough. That's a good start. That's a good start. Now, pay attention to who you are. We'll continue this series. Because we're now 24 minutes. Oh, I'm way past your time to get busy here, but we did get going there, didn't I? Mm-hmm. So, think about it. Your original purity and integrity. I am transfigured. There'll be no transfiguration for anybody here until you like yourself, until all the things you do make you happy and make you feel beneficial and worthwhile. So hang in there, pussycat. You'll make it. Because it's not me that's keeping you from it or anybody else. It's just your own attitude that says you don't like yourself. And I tell you, go shout it to the hilltops. I like me, I like me, I like. And I know you're not doing it. I walked by Sylvia on the path. I didn't hear a word out of her. I walked by Ellen on the path. She had the two dogs with her. I didn't hear a word out of her. Maybe I was speaking so loud myself I couldn't hear her. But I didn't hear a word out of her. Not a word. And God, I am. I am God. There's her. I think if you saw her, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am. I like me, I like me, I like me. You know what I mean? Okay. I love you. We shall continue.